times, can I ask everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the guidelines in regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of an in-committee item. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an item, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up for the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for council considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking, and cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. And just remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: Q for a question, P for a proposal, and F if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging facility. If two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Now, Sarah, can you maybe advise any apologies received so far?
I suppose we have an ongoing apology from councillors Doran and Trainer.
Okay, thank you. And any further apologies from the floor?
Councillor Owen.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Okay, folks, thanks very much. Now move on with Chairman's remarks. I suppose I hope just wish everyone a happy new year. And I suppose this Christmas is certainly different for us all, but I hope you all enjoyed some well-deserved rest and time with your families. I want to thank our council staff on the ground and our officers who continued working over the festive break. It's greatly appreciated. As is common practice now, I begin every meeting with raising COVID-19 and the dangerous places we continue to be in. Our case numbers here in the district, like most of the north, are very much on the rise, and I really do want to re-emphasise the need to limit our social interactions and to follow the public health guidance. On that related note, I want to appeal to people to not be flocking to the Mourns nor any of our prominent beauty hotspots across the district. I always encourage tourism. It's in my blood, but now is not the time. Until we get the case numbers down and under control, we have no economy nor a tourism industry. The executive has warned against any non-essential travel, and the scenes from Newcastle, Tullymore, Bloody Bridge, Murlock, Head Road, I'm sure the list goes on right across our district in terms of our main beauty spots, was simply madness. Not only are we in a pandemic, but the problem that this additional footfall and vehicles are causing in these areas is unprecedented. We have cars blocking roads, farmers unable to feed their livestock, residents unable to come out of their houses, and that's just a flavour of the complaints that I've received, as I'm sure many of you have over the festive break. I'm all for the outdoors. Go exercise, get your fresh air, but please don't be driving long distances to these locations. If you plan to visit a certain park and when you arrive it's packed, go somewhere else. Please don't be adding to the problem. Over the weekend, I engaged with the police and also with our director of ERT, and an urgent meeting of the Mourns Multi-Agency Group will be called. But for now, I'm asking people to please stick to the public health messaging and take your exercise close to where you live. I want to mention at this point our volunteers. I want to thank the volunteers across the district who were involved in a mammoth task in terms of collecting and distributing food and gifts to those in need before Christmas and on an ongoing basis. This is the true spirit of our district, shining through the gloom to assist each other. I visited two of the larger food banks before Christmas, and the logistical operations need to be seen to be believed. So a massive thank you to all of you for your endeavours. I also would like to praise those in our community who still manage to add some festive cheer, of which there were many right across our district. Community groups thinking outside the box and being innovative in terms of how they could make their area more festive in line with the restrictions of the time. I know in the greater Newcastle area we had a mobile Santa Claus doing the rounds, and that really was the highlight for many local children. So thanks to all the volunteering that has continued throughout our district at this trying time. The last thing I want to mention in Chairman's remarks is 5K a day, another charitable initiative which has proven to be very popular locally over the past couple of days, is a challenge of covering 5 kilometres a day. So whether that's a walk, a run, a cycle, or even a row, as we know all our gyms are closed and we aren't out and about with other people, this is a really good way of keeping fit and getting active. It's actually a challenge that's a fundraising in memory of a local young girl, Ellen Finnegan, who died 5 years ago tragically at the age of 18 in a fire in Castlewellan. So the organisers of this want to raise awareness of dealing with grief and also youth mental health in particular. So I'm partaking in the challenge and even bumped into Councillor McMurray on my albeit very slow run yesterday. I will be posting the link on my social media to donate, or if any member wants to join, even better. And don't be put off by being the 4th of January. You could make up those 20 kilometres that you've missed as the month progresses. So that's us in terms of Chairman's remarks.
All right, Laura, there's a bit of feedback coming from your mic. I don't know if you maybe lower it down a bit.
Okay.
Is that better, Sarah?
Yeah, much better, yeah.
Just headphones. Okay, folks, no bother. So if we're keen then to get started, we've already took apologies in Chairman's remarks. Have we any declarations of interest?
Sorry, Chair, there's a question there from Councillor Timley.
Oh, yeah,
Jonathan,
go ahead.
Yeah, Chairperson, just further to your remarks about the number of visitors and whatever to our local amenities and beauty spots, will you allow me to raise an issue about unemptied bins in Cabrony Park at this stage, Chair?
We could maybe do that under neighbourhood services. Jonathan, is there somewhere on the agenda we can bring it up at that point? We don't want to be starting to bring up sort of any issues whatsoever, or be a free-for-all, and we'll be here to 12 o'clock tonight. Would that be okay with you? And if there's not a point in the agenda, could you maybe take it up with Johnny, if I ask Johnny to link up with you after the meeting, if that's okay?
Well, I'd be gay to be you, Chair, but it is a very important issue, and it's one that raises head.
Okay. Well, if you take a wee look at the agenda, if there's somewhere within neighbourhood services, we could try and bring it up, and then if not, then I'll get Johnny to link in with you after the meeting, if that's okay.
All right, okay.
Thank you, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we move on into declaration of interest from any members or officers. Okay, if we then look at the action sheet arising from the council meeting on the 7th of December, so we can go through that page by page, firstly for accuracy, page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. I see, Declan, you've got a question. We've got a proposer or a seconder, first of all, for accuracy. Proposed by Councillor Burgess. Thank you, Robert. Have we got a seconder for accuracy? Councillor Savage, thank you. Okay, so in terms of matters arising then, if we go, Councillor McAteer, you've got a question there?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, yes, order, it's just on page 2, and it references the C-170, but the SPNR meeting. Just wonder, could we get an update from Marie regarding the work to rule situation? And other issues pertaining to that as well. And I'm asking this is because there's conflicting messages being given out to councillors. Like, for example, today I was calling about bins that were missed due to ice or whatever it is over the last week, or just an error, right? And so I've given two messages. One message that they wouldn't be lifted because they're not an agreed protocol, and that would be outside the terms of work to rule. New developments, for example, new housing developments, I've been told they won't be lifted because they weren't in an agreement going back to 2015. Fly tipping, two reports of fly tipping in the area, and I'm told they won't be dealt with either, while other councillors, colleagues, have been told that something different, that they may be lifted. So there's conflicting evidence or conflicting messages being given out to councillors. So I'd like to get an update exactly what work to rule is and what it actually means to the public out there. Thank you.
Okay. Jack, I know you've mentioned that item number as well. Was it an update in terms of the union issue as well? If that's the case, then we need to go into closed session and maybe for an update from it all. So could I maybe get a proposal by Declan? Seconded by Councillor Savage. Sarah, can we go into closed session then, if that's okay? you can let me know when that might be the case, and then perhaps then Maria could hand over to you for an update.
Yeah, that's fine, sure.
Sure, could we just, if we do come out of closed session in terms of just the message going out to the public about what actually it means, I don't think there's any communication on our website or Facebook that I could see anyhow regarding that. So, you know, maybe that would be that could be shared with when the information is given out, because I think it's public interest. Thank you.
Yeah, no bother at all. To the press, I wish to report that whilst in committee, the minute reference number C17/2020, which is on page 2 of the action sheet, was discussed at length. Members received an overview of the issues surrounding the current negotiations with the union, and a special SPNR meeting will be arranged later this week. There was then a proposal from Councillor Malone, seconded by Councillor Brown, to invite the unions to address the special meeting of the SPNR committee. That was a recorded vote that was put to the floor, and there was 19 members for and 17 members against with no abstentions. So the unions will be invited to present to a special meeting of the SPNR committee. Okay, folks, if we can move on then, and I appreciate that was on the action sheet. Have we any other issues on the action sheet that any other members want to raise? Are we content to move on to the minutes to full council? Okay, if we can move on then to the minutes to council meeting on the 7th of December. If I can go through them for accuracy, we have 14 pages. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have a proposal for accuracy from Councillor Stokes and a seconder from Councillor Brown. Just thank you. Have we any matters arising under this full council meeting? Okay, if we move on then to the Minister's Special Council meeting on the 30th of November with DFI Rhodes.
Sorry, Chair, Councillor McAteer has a question.
Oh, sorry, Councillor McAteer, is your question regarding these?
Just about the, on page 5, just the extract of the draft plan minutes. I had stated that I wasn't half content with the timetable, and that's really what the thrust was. But it was hoped that it would be delivered around the date. But it said I was not content with the length of time taken.
The development plan.
Yeah. Okay. I strongly objected to the timetable.
Sure, that's correct. I remember that.
Okay, yeah. I'll get that included if that's okay.
Yeah, just put that sentence in. Yeah.
Thank you, Declan. Okay, so, so we're on the special council meeting on the 30th of November, and where DFI Rhodes were in attendance. We have four pages for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Do we have a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Thank you. Any matters arising? Okay. If we move on then to item number 6, which is the ERT minutes of the 14th of December, 14 pages again for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have a proposal for accuracy from Councillor Kern and seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Thank you. Okay, have we any other matters arising on the ERT minutes? Okay, if we can move on then. I know that item 6.1 was a document from Newry Bid. I think that was linked to item ERT 194/2020 on the actual minutes itself. It's just for noting. Okay, if we move on then to the minutes of Neighbourhood Services Committee, page to page for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Have a proposer and a seconder. Proposed by Councillor Andrews. Thank you, Terry. Have we a seconder? Would somebody who is in Neighbourhood Services be content to second the minutes? Councillor Gallagher, thank you. Okay. Under matters arising then, Councillor O'Hara, you're in first there. Are you on mute, Jay?
Councillor O'Hara was proposing.
I was just proposing, Laura.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I'm saying things. Apologies.
No worries.
Okay, then move on then. No matters arising from Neighbourhood Services. Okay, the next one is the FPNR meeting that was held on the 17th of December. So if we go through for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8, proposed there by Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Gareth Sharvin. Thank you. Any matters arising? Yep, Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. It's in relation to page 6 of the SPNR meetings of item 8. It relates to the item relating to the Public Health Authority and the provision of the COVID testing site in Albert Basin in Newry. Chair, I have grave concerns as to how this is working out over the last number of weeks. I know I have a number of conversations with deeply concerned families and relatives of people who have had to use the facility over the Christmas period, and also the challenges that the location is posing for some of them. We have a lot of elderly people, some of them very ill, making their way, and some of them not so mobile either, trying to make their way sometimes from a distance of up to a quarter of a mile to walk in cold, frosty, cold, wet evenings into what is a very cold environment of an Army outdoor marquee to do this test. I've had reports of an elderly gentleman who had to walk from the Middlebank car park and didn't make it as far as the traffic lights and took a turn and slumped over the railings at the pedestrian crossing. Some people are in a very frail state, and I believe that this facility had previously been a drive-in test facility, and I would like to make a formal proposal tonight, if councillors would support me on it, that our officials go back to the Public Health Authority, outline the concerns of the local public here in relation to the accessibility issues of the Albert Basin, and try to revert back as quickly as possible to a drive-in scenario, or at least come up with some sort of solution that allows frail, vulnerable or elderly patients who are looking to be tested to access the site and preserve some form of dignity. I've had harrowing stories from people and relatives in tears to me today who have outlined that their relatives have ended up on ventilators. The trauma of that is sufficient, as we all know, to deal with in itself without this added pressure being put on. The alternative, if you want to drive, is an hour and a half to an hour and 45-minute round trip to Craigavon. And I don't believe the people of the Newry, South Down and South Armagh area should have to put up with that. We need a drive-in facility in Newry. The amount of cases is spreading at a rapid rate. Therefore, you would believe that the number of cases and incidences of people who want to be tested will rise accordingly. So I believe very firmly that we need to have another look at this. It's not as if we don't have the space at the site. This site functioned as a drive-in facility previously for a period of 4 or 5 months. And I believe we need to have a conversation immediately with the Public Health Authority to get that reverted back to a drive-in facility. And I would ask that the officers engage with the Public Health Authority as a matter of urgency. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor McAteer, are you seconding that proposal?
Yes, sir. Certainly, yes, absolutely.
Okay, yes. Perfect. Is everybody there in agreement, or do we need to do a roll call? I think everybody's in agreement. Are we content to move on?
Chair, can I give a wee bit of context? This is Doreen here. I'm happy to feed those points back, councillors, and if any likewise ones, I suppose. You know, the PHA had, it's their decision, they had determined that a drive-in facility was actually prohibiting those members of the public who didn't have access to a vehicle from getting tested. They deemed then that it was a walk-in facility that was needed for Newry. But by all means, we will take back those points. If you have any others, please feel free to come forward to me, and we will speak to them about whether there can be a dual facility on the site. But it's obviously within their gift to determine what's on there, but absolutely we'll take that back.
Okay, thank you, Dorina. Okay, I think we're all in agreement for that to happen. Thank you. Have we any...
Chair, I was in there. I think Fee Barra Murray might be in ahead of me, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're moving just in terms of that item, wrapping up that item.
Well, just if you don't mind, I come in on that item there, just quickly. You know, and obviously Craig Abbott was mentioned there in an hour and a half. I know someone very well who today was directed to Silverbridge. And I thought, Silverbridge, it was even unknown this person had to Google it here, tell of it. And, you know, it'd be easier to go to Craig Abbott as go to Silverbridge. You bear in mind the roads and the conditions of the road. But yes, I totally agree with Councillor Savage that it needs to be back in Newry, somewhere in Newry, somewhere that everybody knows. If you have to go to Craig Abbott, bad enough. But if you're living in Kilkeel and having to head away to Silverbridge, it's quite a travel. You could go to Craig Abbott every bit as quick. So I'm only saying somewhere like Newry that we all know. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. Councillor Murrah?
Yeah, Chair, and if you had kept us all in the right order, I could have cleared up the Silverbridge quandary for Harald. Harald, it's all relevant, you know. Silverbridge is very well known to us who live beside it. Just because
that's right.
Ah, well, you know, you get that not all councillors are from Kilkeel. But just to reflect to the council, the facility, the PHA facility in Silverbridge reopened the day. It had been in before Christmas as well. And I suppose it's not great to hear Councillor Savage's reports about the facility in Newry. But just that the people in round about Silverbridge were full of praise today for how efficient and effective the testing was carried out on the Silverbridge Harps facility today. So just to feed that back in as well, please, Dorina.
Thank you, Baron. Apologies, I thought that your item was a different item. I definitely would never have overlooked you. Okay, so let me see if we move on then to the Minutes of the Active Healthy Communities Committee on the 21st of December. So in terms of page for page for accuracy, it was 12 pages. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. The proposal there from Councillor O'Mara and a second from Councillor McKevitt. Thank you. Any matters arising on the IHC minutes? Okay. If we can move
on
then.
Sorry, Chair. Councillor O'Mara wasn't at the IHC in December.
Ah, okay. Can we get some, maybe Karen, are you happy to propose the minutes? Will be somebody else to second on them? Councillor O'Hare. Okay, thank you. Proposed by Karen and seconded by Jerry. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, if we move on to the special audit on the 7th of December, so page by page for accuracy, page 1, 2 and 3. And do we have a proposer for accuracy? From the special audit committee meeting, would somebody be able to propose the minutes? Councillor Burton and then Sharvin seconded. Thank you. And any matters arising? Okay. That finishes then the committee minutes. If we move on then, there was no items put forward from the planning section this month. We then have for notes under 12 and 13, the Housing Council minutes and the bulletin. Again, that's for noting if anybody has any issues. Okay. Number 14 on the agenda is the planning at the conference members. Obviously, there's a cost associated with attending the planning conference. So I suppose it's up to ourselves whether we just want to send an officer or if any members of the planning committee want to attend. And then your hands, folks, as to what you'd like to do. Do we maybe have a proposal maybe to send the senior planner, or is there any members that would like to attend? Councillor Murphy, yeah, go on ahead there, Declan.
Yeah, I don't mind who attends if the senior management or senior planners want to go as well, but I wouldn't mind attending myself, to be honest with you. I'm on the planning committee, and I think it's beneficial.
Okay. No problem. So we maybe say then if anybody else is interested in going that they can contact Democratic Services. Yep, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Declan. Okay, thank you too, Declan. Okay, if we can then move on to our notices of motion for this evening. And before I go to the first notice of motion, we had another one in actually from Councillor Walker that was received before Christmas and in time. However, for expediency, that motion is going to go and be dealt with at this Friday's meeting of the Good Relations Committee. So it's going there for expediency. So we can move on then with the first notice that we have this evening is from Councillor Brown regarding the Northern Mutual Bank. In terms of standing order 16.1 paragraph 6, this will be referred to the SPNR meeting of committee meeting. So Patrick, if you want to read out your motion and advise me who seconded it, we can get the motion deferred, please.
Yes, thanks, Chair. So the motion reads that this council recognises the need for greater resilience and community wealth building in the council region in light of the coronavirus pandemic and future crises that will inevitably arise due to global warming, and looks to solutions beyond business as usual, which can help build this necessary resilience and community wealth. In seeking such solutions, this council agrees to assess the financial and practical viability of the Northern Mutual Bank, a bank that will be regional, ethical, complementary to our credit unions and not driven by profit but by the needs of the region. This should be done as part of a wider commitment to developing a district-wide community wealth-building strategy. A business case will be provided to Council to help carry out this assessment, and if it can be demonstrated that the Northern Mutual is indeed financially and practically viable, this Council will commit to some or all of the following: to join the advisory group of the Northern Mutual, to publicly support the campaign for the Northern Mutual, to lobby government departments and anchor institutions as a way to garner further support for the campaign, and to invest money to help raise the bank's 20 million startup capital on the understanding the council will receive a return on this investment. The business case will give an indication of the rate of return.
Thank you. Councillor Brown, do you have a seconder for your motion?
Councillor McMurray, sorry.
Councillor McMurray, perfect. Okay, great. That'll be referred then to the SPNR committee. Okay, if we can move on then to the next notice of motion, which is from Councillor Hannah. And a second by Councillor Walker. If you want to read out your motion and then speak on it, Glyn.
Okay, can you hear me okay, Chair?
Yep, can indeed.
Right, hang on a wee second. This council recognises the importance of our National Health Service and the heroic contribution of our health and social care workers and care home workers throughout the pandemic. Express our thanks for their commitment to the care for community, and write to the Health Minister Robin Swan, MLA, asking him to administer a thank you payment of at least £500 as a practical demonstration of our gratitude. To comment on it, Chair, I believe this motion is clear and hope everyone within this council there will support us sending a letter to Stormont. All the staff in the NHS have really stepped up. Plus staff in the care homes and social care area in general have made massive sacrifice for the people they look after. I know we are in the middle of the second wave of this COVID-19, and all staff are exhausted, fatigued, and many have suffered with corona after getting infected through their work. I really feel for all those people, so they, because of their sacrifice, they became ill. I also am thinking of those doctors and nurses and hospital workers, staff in old folks' home and other areas of the care that have lost their lives through this COVID-19. These medical carers have given their all for us and should not be forgotten. I would like to thank a token of gratitude, as I suggest £500 should be given to these people. If we think about this, I as an employer, if I had staff that stepped up to the mark and put massive efforts into achieving a goal like what the health service and all the carers have done, I believe they do need some recognition and a small token. I know if it was in business, they would probably get a bonus. I believe that this gesture would, from all of us, would be a great idea. These medical staff risk their health and lives for us all, and I hope all councillors will support the motion in recognising and giving a small gesture for their service to us all. And Chair, I would also like, if possible, that if this is passed in this council, that it be circulated to all councils, the other 10 councils, to see if they would actually support what we're proposing to do and sending a letter to the Stormont Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. And then Councillor Billy, I think you're in seconding, is that right?
Chair, yes, thank you very much. And I want to commend my colleague, Councillor Hannah, for bringing this motion. I think it is a very worthwhile motion. Over the last 10 months, we owe a lot to our health and care workers out there. You know, they're working in very, very difficult circumstances. You know, proof of it is, I speak on a regular basis with our own colleague, Councillor Catherine Owen, who has returned to frontline duties in the National Health Service. At the minute, she's been telling me she got Friday off. She's working 12, 14-hour shifts. So she is in Craigavon Hospital. She's now starting to administer the vaccine and that. And they're actually worked off their feet in that. And I believe that this would be a fitting thank you to them all. So it would, and once again, you know, in second in the motion, I commend Councillor Hannah for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Andrews, I think you're in first, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. On behalf of the SALP Griffin here on the Council, I would like to thank the proposer, Councillor Glenn Hannah, and Councillor Billy Walker, who seconded it, for bringing such an important motion for our attention, and especially in the times that we are now in to this Council meeting. All of us have seen it firsthand, the sheer professionalism, the tireless devotion and sense of duty and care shown by staff who are under so much pressure going the extra mile to deliver a standard of sterling service that is second to none to all these people and patients in their charge. On a personal level, I would like to commend my fellow Rhode Island councillor colleague, Councillor Catherine Owen, who along with so many others have returned to frontline duty in the health service, and along with colleagues who are working at the minute. I'm also hearing from constituents too, their stories and accounts of heartbreak and anguish and their appreciation of what staff do in a lot of ways, and especially being behind the scenes and being there by the bedside of someone's loved one. And also other disciplines engaged in supplying other vital services such as mental health care and others. You know, the reasons as to why this payment should be made, I've outlined above and previous speakers have alluded to. And I'd like to ask, request the indulgence of the proposer, Councillor Hannah, and the seconder, Councillor Walker. I'd like to propose an amendment to their motion at the very end of the existing motion with the following wording. Also calling for nursing registration and social care fees for 2021 to be put aside in line with the sentiments expressed in this motion, and for this council to write to and circulate this motion to the other 10 local authorities, seeking their support, and writing also to the minister and relevant bodies calling for these fee waivers to be implemented for this year. And wrapping up and summing up, and tabling this amendment, I believe, and I'm sure so many others would be the same, that in light of all the extra pressure and hard work that has been carried out, especially in these worrying times, that registration fees that have to be paid by various disciplines should be waived as a result, and supporting the call for a gratuity to be paid as well to those involved. And summing up, Madam Chairperson, an appropriate motion, and as a group, and we're here in the Council, are only happy to show our support and solidarity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Andrews. I suppose we may go back now to the proposer of the motion. Would you be willing to accept the amendment from Councillor Andrews?
It was quite a long amendment there, so it was, Chair. It's basically what Terry is suggesting, that Stormont should waive the registration fee for nursing staff care workers and whatever. Is that what he's proposing to do?
Yes, that's my understanding. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. And so I should have tried to condense into fewer words, but I just felt with what the amendment had put, Glenn, that I thought just try to sum everything up in those words, but thank you.
Well, Chair, I'd also ask there for the circulated. Anyway, I'm happy to take the amendment, Sam, there, that the registration hopefully could be waived as a gesture as well. I'm happy enough to take that.
Okay, good stuff then. Thank you. We'll move on to Terry. Thank you, Terry. Councillor Taylor?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, the motion itself has a lot of merit, and you know, I don't think we can ever repay health and social care workers for the devotion and work that they've put in, you know, over the last year in particular. You know, it was a difficult enough job already, you know, providing the high quality class, you know, care service and health service that they already provide. But the pressure that it has been under over the last year in particular as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, we're totally indebted to everything that they've done for us and for our families. And you know, they've had to encounter very difficult circumstances. They've, you know, had to watch, you know, people die on their own. They've had to provide that last care and support to people in very difficult circumstances, and even provide compassionate support to families, you know. And I just, you know, a payment, you know, it's a very good idea, and you know, and it has merit. It's probably, even that's not enough, you know. I think, you know, we would never be able to repay what they've done for us over this period of time. Now, one thing I would say, and I'm always conscious that whenever these motions are brought forward, you know, it's all right saying do this and do that, but there's obviously a budget to work within as well, and we always have to be conscious of that. I'm even conscious of that with the amendment that's been brought forward as well by Councillor Andrews. Whenever making these proposals, we always should always think, right, how is this funded for as well? Because there are the health service itself is already working under very severe financial pressures, as is every government department. But I know that Robin Swan, the health minister, my party colleague, has already said that he wishes to make an additional payment, you know, for this year for health and social care workers in recognition of their efforts. But, you know, it's important to note also, and that's why I'm making a minor amendment as well, and I have discussed this with Councillor Hannah, that, you know, any decision will ultimately require approval from the Department of Finance and indeed the collective executive, you know, if any such payment is to be made. And say the Health Minister is working on that, but he is going to have the support of other government departments to ensure that that happens. So, you know, from a practical point of view, I would ask, you know, if consideration would be given to actually writing to the executive collectively rather than just specifically the minister, because it will ultimately be a collective decision by the executive in terms of finding the necessary finance to ensure that this payment can be made. And so that's, you know, one thing I would ask for, you know, consideration to be given to by Glenn as the proposer, and I have discussed it with him today, and I hope that he, you know, he can respond positively to that. But you know, it's clear that, you know, we have to show our, you know, as much practical demonstration of our appreciation for the extraordinary efforts and sacrifices that have been provided by all staff and within the NHS and the health and social care sector and all our carers. This is one way of doing that. But we say we need that collective responsibility from the executive to ensure that it is achieved. So that's why I would ask, you know, for that minor amendment to be considered, that we actually correspond with the executive collectively to ensure that it can be delivered, you know, on a cross party basis. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So I suppose back over to you, Glenn, as the proposer. Would you be willing to accept that amendment as well?
Yes, I'd be happy enough. I spoke to David earlier on today, and I'm happy to change it from the Health Minister, Robin Swan, there to the executive. The letter is wrote directly to the executive. David's happy enough with that.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. Okay, if we move on then, Councillor Mulgrew.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. We're happy to support the motion and also the amendments. You know, I think that it needs to go to the full executive. I mean, the bottom line is that the frontline staff that we're referring to within the health service have endured many years of pay freezes and then very low percentage of pay raises when they were handed thrown at them like crumbs from the table. And I know that many health officials actually said, while they were honoured when our entire community came out and clapped for them on a Thursday night throughout the first stage of the pandemic, really what our health workers need is proper and appropriate payment for the job that they do. And in fact, the lack of it properly addressing the pay of our health professionals has left the health service in a very precarious situation, because many find that they're more beneficial to work either through the bank system or through private healthcare providers. So I think this amount of money is little, but it is a gesture. But certainly, you know, we need to be addressing the appropriate pay scales for all of our frontline staff. I have to say that we really feel that we must also point out that when we talk about our frontline staff and we look back to the start of the pandemic and we look at our community shops in particular that stayed open, and none of those staff for the first couple of months had any PPE. They met hundreds and thousands of people right throughout the first couple of months of the pandemic. And of course, people didn't know what the procedures were for those staff or what they needed to protect themselves. Those within our care homes and the community sector also have done Trojan work. We have our postmen, we have our own bin men, we have our community associations. And I would like to think that whenever we come out the other side of this, that we will come back and review this as a collective and how we can do some token gesture to acknowledge the work of all of our frontline staff. Should it be that we, you know, ask for an exceptional additional bank holiday or something for the year? But we need to be looking at all of our staff, because every single person has played a role in the pandemic over the last 10 months and continue to do so. But we are certainly more than happy to support the motion and the amendments, and hopefully we will come back and review how we acknowledge all of those who have played their part over the last 10 months. Thank you.
Thank you, Roisin. Okay, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, we are happy and pleased to support the motion, including amendments as well. And again, sort of as outlined, really, you know, just it's a tangible way to show our gratitude to those that have worked within the health and social care settings throughout the pandemic. I mean, you know, having, I'm sure all of us do know people that work in hospitals or health and social care. I mean, the initial fear whenever this virus and the unknown virus, as it was back then, came in, you know, these people really did put themselves quite literally in the front line, especially given, you know, the unfortunate numbers of healthcare workers in the initial phase that, you know, have sadly lost their lives. You know, so this can't really be underestimated by any stretch of the imagination. And similarly, it doesn't probably come in any close to repaying the extra shifts that many have undertaken throughout this period. Although, again, just to sort of reiterate as well, you know, this pandemic is a long way from being contained or indeed over. So while happy to support and happy to encourage this, it should be no way a signal that somehow we're out of the woods. And you know, I think, you know, we need to be clear, as you were, Chair, at the start of this meeting, in our message and our actions, which can help prevent this further spread of this virus. And it's something that should be done. You know, I know that the Nicola Sturgeon of the SNP has brought a similar scheme to the Scottish health service workers. So certainly happy to support this similar motion in for regards Northern Ireland. Oh, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hannah, Councillor Hannah.
Thank you. Andy, Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And just for to put my own voice to it, of course, we'd like to congratulate Catherine on going back into health service and for all the staff and the work that they do. Just on a very personal note, I have three children who have worked at the front line the whole way through the pandemic. One of them was a student nurse. She's went into the February intake 3 years ago and just finished her degree there at Christmas, and didn't get any payment for her the hours of work that she put in for her placements the way the September intake did. But so she's going to get her PIN early, and she's going to start her new job in the matter now at the hospital in Belfast at the end of the month. But before she can start, she has to pay a fee of £120. And £120 is a lot of money to a student who didn't receive anything but her bursary the whole way through her degree. And I'd welcome the amendment. Congratulate Glyn and Billy on bringing this motion forward. I think it is very, very welcome. And we're right, we can't thank the NHS staff and other staff that work in nursing homes, etc. We can't thank them enough for the service that they provided. for the service that they continue to provide, and God keep them all safe throughout what's coming or what's arriving at our doors now with the numbers and etc. I've every faith that each and every one of them will be working full capacity to try and protect, because it is vocation that they signed up to, nursing, doctors, whatever they may be. I think it's a small price to pay. I was honoured to go out the first lockdown and clap them every Thursday evening, and so I'm honoured to be able to support this motion tonight and the amendments in order for the message to go out that, do you know what I mean, we are internally grateful for all the work that is provided, and that, Joe, you know, there's a whole intake of new student nurses coming in now, ready to go on to the front line again. And you know, I just wish them well in their new roles, because they're walking into something that has totally been unknown to professionals in their whole history of their careers. So I very much welcome the letters to be wrote, and hope that other councils take it on board, and that the executive get the message that our council taking the lead on. So I thank everyone for the motion and amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Councillor Riley, you're the last one looking in there. Go on ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Fully support the motion. But I would be concerned that people in the private sector who have been really outstanding in how they have, you know, done home visits, care in the community, because they would be obviously excluded. You know, the government's not going to give them £500 each when they're private employees, but if there was some way of acknowledging them, it would probably have to come from the Chancellor of the Exchequer to give them tax breaks or something. But certainly they really do need recognition. The care assistants that work in nursing homes, the nurses in nursing homes, and the care in the community that go around and visit elderly people and make sure they're kept right and put to bed and whatever. And you know, if you're a consultant on £150,000 a year, £500 isn't going to be much. But if you're a ward orderly or you know, the person that pushes the patients about in their beds till an operation or whatever, you know, it's going to be a lot to them. So maybe it could be targeted some way if the executive did agree with it. But certainly the private sector staff definitely need recognition. And if there's some way that the council could give them a recognition later on, whenever the thing's over, I think that they would be very worthy recipients of some sort of an award. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Okay, Councillor Hannah, this has been total support for your proposal. So I think by the every comment we can consider your motion has been carried. Okay. So
thank you very much, Laura, and thank you everybody for the very supportive comments. And we do need to, we are all in a debt to those who put their lives, and especially as Roisin said there, at the early part of this pandemic, whenever PPE wasn't available and they didn't know what they were facing. I'm really delighted there that everybody has fell in behind it. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks. I just realised, Glenn, I didn't go back to you to sum up, but you summed that up well there. Thanks a lot. Well, okay, folks, that takes us to the end of the meeting for this evening. Thanks, everyone, for your contributions. I know we're all awaiting news of further sort of restrictions. Everybody do take care out there. And for any of you in the chamber, there, see you at home, and we'll see you all soon. Thank you.
Cheers, Chair. All the best, everybody.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.